Welcome back to TechNet Radio. It's IT time, and in today's episode, Blaine Barton walks us through the necessary steps and considerations you should think about when upgrading from Windows Server 2008 to Windows Server 2012. Tune in as he lays out the necessary hardware and disk requirements, which Windows clients and servers are supported, as well as what functional levels, operations master roles, and Active Directory changes you need to be made aware of. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time, TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior technical evangelist with Microsoft here in my Tampa, Florida studio. And I'm going to be bringing you the upgrade scenarios from Windows Server 2008 to Windows Server 2012. With that, let's get started. So the first thing we want to look at is why upgrade to Windows Server 2012? We'll look at the operating system hardware, disk space requirements, the supported Windows clients and servers, the supported in-place upgrade paths that are available, the functional levels, operation master roles and Active Directory considerations, migration for tools for Windows Server 2012, Hyper-V and virtual machine considerations will be covered by my peer, Tommy Patterson out of Atlanta. He's an IT pro evangelist for Microsoft. And then we'll summarize the upgrade scenarios. Well, first, why upgrade to Windows Server 2012? There's a lot of reasons why we'd want to upgrade to the latest version of the operating system. For one is, you know, as we take a look in, as to why, it's this complete virtualization platform. You know, it delivers a fully isolated multi-tenant environment that includes, you know, tools that guarantee, you know, service level agreements, enables chargebacks, and supports self-service delivery. You know, there's also best of class, you know, improved scalability and performance. It really delivers a high density, scalable environment that can be adopted to multiple hypervisors and you know, with using things like System Center Virtual Machine Manager with Windows Server to be able to virtualize your environment, take and, you know, be able to adapt and perform to the optimal levels of your needs as a customer. The ability to you know, bring in all these, you know, continuous availability and high availability costs for disaster recovery and solutions, and what we refer to as the best-in-class hybrid cloud experience with a common set of technologies. So we're looking at using, you know, common identity and management frameworks for both the security enhanced and the reliable cross-premise connectivity. We start looking at cost savings and increased efficiencies. We're looking at things like storage spaces, you know, storage pools and other storage enhancements. We've got a lot there that's been added into the new server platform, you know, to provide you that diverse storage choices that deliver performance, the efficiency, and the innovation that, you know, takes advantage of the industry standard hardware. Continuous, you know, availability. We, you know, we look at things constantly running in our environment. We also want to do as much scripting and PowerShell management or multi-machine management. So it also improves how efficient we are in the environment. Increased uptime with cluster-aware updating and transparent failover. So, you know, keeping things running. And as we know, as IT professionals, the main thing we do is to mask that downtime from the end user. So making sure that things are constantly running in the environment using, you know, these new pieces of automation as well as equipment provided by our OEMs to provide this high availability cluster aware updating and transport failover. VDI, I talk about this a lot in the sessions that I do around virtual desktop infrastructure. I know with Windows Server 2008 R2 specifically, VDI was something that was kind of difficult to set up and manage. Be able to get through, you know, that great huge white paper to be able to implement VDI technology. And we know that with Windows Server 2012, we can go in, it's in Server Manager, under roles and features. It's one of the first things that we see that we can configure in about, you know, 13 steps and a cup of coffee. We can get through the setting up VDI infrastructure. So we've really made things a lot more easier to implement and through wizard control to be able to get you up and running with VDIs as quickly as possible. Optimizing the branch office wide area network bandwidth use, being able to do things like branch cache, being able to cache those files locally at those branch offices, keeping, you know, if you're, especially if you're like, if I'm in Florida, you know, and I'm in Florida here, if I'm doing, you know, if I'm doing work in the Caribbean or Puerto Rico, you know, maybe using satellite technology and wide area network bandwidth use is pay as you go. So it'd be important to cache those files locally down in the branch office. And more importantly, when we look at, you know, accessing our corporate networks, the big thing there is the ability for remote users to get access to internal resources without doing a VPN. You know, some of the examples I use is the ability to, you know, be able to go into VPN, but also the that experience, right, of going into VPN quarantine, you know, going through and going through the health check of my client to make sure that my PC is up to date with the health requirements. And then once it's out of quarantine, then it lets me into the to the corporate network. And with here, we're talking about direct access, being connected, you know, by just simply connecting to the network, always being connected, which is also a benefit for system administrators from, you know, the one to many of the PCs they manage, being able to have direct access to provision and update those machines. So there's a great technology within Windows Server. And more importantly, when we're talking about Windows Server really built for the cloud, is that ability to have, you know, virtually access to any of my documents, any of my infrastructure, anywhere, any place, on any device. So let's take a look at the operating system hardware and disk space requirements. So here we're looking at, and this is probably not a new slide for most folks, but what I do is I kind of compare, and I go right here to the middle of the 16 axis, the amount of virtual processor per virtual machine support that we have with virtual machines. From 4 in Windows Server 2008 R2 to 64 in Windows Server 2012. Also, you take a look at the memory per virtual machine, 64 gigabytes, right, in Windows Server 2008 R2 to 1 terabyte in Windows Server 2012. There's also some serious enhancements here with logical processors on bare metal hardware at going from 64 to 320, a 5x improvement there. And then kind of the list goes on here, you know, virtual machines. How about virtual machines in a cluster? So we have 8,000 virtual machines supported in the cluster and supports up to 64 nodes. So this is a great, you know, comparison between what we have in Windows Server 2008 R2 and Windows Server 2012. So we look at the operating system requirements here. You know, this section really covers disk space requirements only for upgrading domain controllers from Windows Server 2008 to Windows Server 2008 R2 to Windows Server 2012. There's also more information on our website you can get on space requirements for upgrading DCs to earlier versions of from earlier versions of Windows Server. All those are in documents on TechNet. But on domain controllers that you plan upgrade to Windows Server 2012, make sure the drive that hosts the Active Directory database or the ntds.dit file has free space enough to represent at least 20% of that ntds.dit file before you begin the operating system upgrade. If there is insufficient free space on the volume, the upgrade can fail and the upgrade compatibility report actually returns you know, error messages and a report indicating insufficient disk space. So even though we require 20% on that ntds.dit file, the upgrade compatibility report will actually trigger an event for you. So, you know, that's always nice to have in that technology, is when we run the upgrade compatibility report, it actually returns those errors you see. This one, the minimum operating system requirements, I always have a good time with. It's like, yeah, you know, the minimum requirements is 1.4 gigahertz, a 64-bit processor, 512s of memory, and 32 gigs of hard disk space. But if you want to run Office, you need just a little bit more power here. But you tell me one server out there, operating system, that has, you know, as far as a server operating system, has these low-level minimum operating system requirements. You can't buy a machine with that on it. Now, but the point here is that if you do have older machines like Windows Server 2003. This may be an opportunity to rip and replace or what we call flatten the box or take and decommission those older servers. But don't throw those old servers out yet, because those old servers just may be capable of running, say, Windows 8 operating system, or you could at least load a browser on those and use that older PC or server for things like, you know, configuring Azure with a web browser or perhaps running another operating system. So keep those old boxes around before you take a look at, you know, it's not that people plan to fail, it's that they fail to plan. And that's all I'm doing here, folks, is enlightening you on when you're making that move from 03 server, or let's just hope you're on 08 or 08R2 going to 2012. These are some of the things you need to take into consideration. This is just a couple of tips and tricks from my experiences. Hey, you know, don't throw those old machines out quite yet. Let's take a look at the supported clients and servers in this environment. So here, you know, below are the supported domain members, right? Domain members that work with domain controllers that run Windows Server 2012. So the client operating systems, Windows 8, Windows 7, Windows Vista, Windows XP, that's Windows XP SP2 or higher. The server operating systems that can coexist with Windows Server 2012, not as domain members, not domain controllers, are Windows Server 2012. That's a perfect environment, right? And then the legacy, Windows Server 2008 R2, 2008, 2008, or 2003 R2 and 2003. Most Windows Server 2012 roles are back compatible with other servers of Windows 2008 Active Directory. But you know, keep in mind that there are going to be obviously functionality, and features and benefits that are going to be in Windows Server 2012 that aren't in the legacy server operating systems. Let's look at the supported in-place upgrade paths that are available. This is always important to cover, you know, what I can go from to. Yes. That's the good news, is yes, you can upgrade domain controllers that run, of course, 64-bit versions of Windows Server 2008 or Windows Server 2008 R2 to Windows Server 2012. But no, you cannot upgrade domain controllers that run Windows Server 2003 and 32-bit versions of Windows Server 2008. So, you know, we've got there's four, if not kind of that fifth storage server, but really four editions of Windows Server 2012. We've got Foundation and Essentials, but the ones that we talk about and really care about and being able to do multi-tenant, multi-forest, you know, multi-domain, multi-forest support is standard and data center editions of Windows Server 2012. So, you know, and as we know, standard and data center, same features set, same benefits. The only difference is the virtualization rights. So when we look at running these editions of Windows Server 2008 Standard with SP2 or the Enterprise, so Standard or Enterprise of 2008 with SP2, you can go to Standard or you can go to Enterprise, goes to Data Center. So Windows Server 2008 here, it goes to Data Center with SP2 to Windows Server 2012. Windows Web Server 2008 is Windows Server 2012. Server 2008 R2 SP1 Standard Edition can go to 2012 Standard. R2 Enterprise SP1, 2012 Data Center. Data Center, that's an easy one. Data Center to Data Center. And then the last one is the Windows Web Server 2008 R2 goes to Windows Server 2012 Standard. Let's look at functional levels. So with Windows Server 2012 requires a Windows Server 2003 forced functional level. You know, that is, before you can add a domain controller that runs Windows Server 2012 to an existing Active Directory forest, the forced functional level must be Windows Server 2003 or higher. So this means that, you know, a domain controller that runs Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2008, Windows Server 2003 can operate in the same forest, but the domain controllers that run Windows Server 2000 are not supported and will block the installation of the domain controller that runs Windows Server 2012. So if the Forest functional level is Windows 2000, the installation is also blocked. So the only really supported path for running Windows 2000 domain controllers to running Windows Server 2012 domain controllers is install the domain controllers that run Windows Server 2003 or later, because these domain controllers can be deployed on an evaluation version of Windows Server. So just you know, look at a couple of things. Remove the Win, and you can do this kind of in this order. Remove the Windows 2000 DCs. Raise the functional, the Forest functional level, the Windows Server 2003 or higher. Install the domain controllers that run Windows Server 2012 and remove the DCs that run earlier versions of Windows Server. So, you know, what we're looking at here is the next thing here is on the next bullet point is the new Windows Server 2012 domain functional level enables one new feature, the KDC support for claims, compound authentication, and Kerberos armoring. So the KDC administrative template policy has two settings. It has one that says always provide claims, and the other one is and the other one is fail unarmored authentication requests. So the two settings that require Windows Server 2012 domain functional level to work properly. So there's more information on our website on that. And then also, another comment here is with Windows Server 2012 Forest functional level does not provide any new features per se. It ensures that any new domain created in the Forest will automatically operate at the Windows Server 2012 domain functional level. So the Windows Server 2012 domain functional level does not provide any new features beyond KDC support for, once again, the claims, the compound authentication, the Kerberos armoring. So those are some things to keep in mind. All right, let's look at the next thing here, and that's operation master roles considerations. We love FISMO roles or operation master roles. So let's take a look at this here. It's some new features in Windows Server 2012 that affect operation master role. So the PDC emulator must be running Windows Server 2012 to support cloning virtual domain controllers, which is awesome, you know, type of technology within Windows Server 2012. There are additional prerequisites for cloning DCs, and there's a link on the TechNet website it's called Active Directory Domain Services Virtualization. You can click on that and get more information about the PDC emulator and how it's running to support cloning the virtual domain controllers. The RID master, the Relative Identifier master, has a new, so there's some new security principles that are created when the PDC emulator runs in Windows Server 2012. So security principles are a foundation for controlling access to securable resources. Okay, so the relative identifier operations master role allocates blocks of RIDs to each domain controller in the domain. Whenever a domain controller creates a new security principle, such as a user or a group or a computer object, it assigns the object a unique security identifier, or a SID as we know. So the SID consists of a domain SID, which is the same for all security principles created in the domain. And a RID, which uniquely identifies each security principle created in the domain, is noted, right? So there's, once again, new security principles. Note, though, they are not operation master roles. There are other changes in the Active Directory Domain Services installation, as that the DNS server role and the global catalog are installed by default on all domain controllers that run Windows Server 2012. All right, let's move to the next slide here, and that's Active Directory considerations, you know, and some of the new features here. So It's kind of interesting. I always do the CUI versus the GUI, the character user interface, you know, side by side, but with the graphical user interface. So I always do this kind of fun CUI versus the GUI. So yeah, we can script everything out through PowerShell. No problem, right? Everything under the underlying architecture is PowerShell. There are more things you can do with PowerShell than you can through the graphical user interface. So the character user interface based command line installation for Active Directory domain services is the domain services. So ADDS deployment, so Active Directory deployment services deployment module Windows PowerShell, you can actually run the script and get Active Directory domain services installed. Or you can go up to Server Manager into the Active Directory domain services, install the domain services, and then there, once you get the domain services, as well as the administrative tools and all the other tools, sites and services and users and computers, you'll get this promote this server to a domain controller. So, or you can get it either in the, when you're doing and adding the role through the wizard, you'll get the opportunity to promote the server to a domain controller. Or if you're in Server Manager, you'll see the exclamation mark up here in the orange triangle. You'll see down here that you have promote this server to a domain controller. So don't be looking for DC promo, because DC promo has been deprecated. Other than run DC promo in an answer file using PowerShell, that is still supported. So most of us go in there, first thing we want to do is upgrade it to a domain controller, and we want to go run DC promo. Along with that, we're going to look at the Active Directory domain services installation continuing, talking about ad prep. So to simplify, and this is a kind of a key word here when we say, you know, to simplify, which is kind of a strong word there, because when we use simple and easy out there, I think in IT too much. You know, we've really made this simple. We've really made this easy. But in all essence here, to simplify the installation, ad prep has been integrated into Active Directory domain services installation. It runs automatically as needed. So it decides on when it needs to run. The Windows PowerShell-based AD, DS configuration wizard, automatically targets the schema and the infrastructure master rules in the domain where Windows Server 2012 DCs are added, then remotely runs the required ad prep commands on the relative domain controllers. It also does a prerequisite check in the Active Directory domain services installation wizard to identify potential issues that may happen along the way during the installation. So to eliminate concerns from a, you know, partially completed upgrade. So the wizard also exports the Windows PowerShell script that contains all of the options that were specified during the graphical installation. I think that's really sweet. So that's also a huge, you know, benefit. So taken together, the Active Directory domain services installation changes in Windows Server 2012, and it simplifies the DC role installation process. It reduces the likelihood of administrative errors, we call them fat fingers, or PEPCAP error, problem exists between keyboard and chair. We especially, when you are deploying multiple DCs across global regions and domains, you kind of want to get it right. So scripting is with PowerShell. And as we know, we have that monthly PowerShell episode with Mr. Ed Wilson. He's got his book out, PowerShell 3 out, so go check that out. But, you know, this is critical. So, you know, more details on GUI and Windows PowerShell-based installation, including the command line syntax and setup step-by-step wizard instructions, are also located in the Install Active Directory domain services located on our TechNet website. All right, Active Directory tool changes. I told you, remember, a couple of tool changes. One is deprecation of AdPrep 32. Why? Because AdPrep's got that little 32 in there, and we don't support 32-bit operating systems on the server side. So it must be and needed a 64-bit domain controllers that run Windows Server 2008 or later, and the system determines this, of whether or not to run AdPrep. So it's just AdPrep now, no AdPrep 32. DC promo, deprecated, but can still be ran through the answer file. So to summarize things, first, you should ensure you have the proper hardware and enough room for the ntds.dit file before you upgrade. You cannot upgrade Windows Server 2003 or Windows Server 2008 32-bit to Windows Server 2012. Out of the four editions, only the Active Directory domain services role is supported on Windows Server 2012 and Standard and Data Center editions for multi-domain, multi-forest. Make sure and review the considerations around the functional levels, the operation master roles, Active Directory, and we'll be covering Hyper-V and virtual machines when you do these upgrade scenarios. So that about wraps it up for episode one with upgrading Windows Server 2008 to Windows Server 2012. And episode two is what happens with your hypervisor, your Hyper-V virtual machines, and what happens when you go through the upgrade scenarios. So I'm going to be bringing on Tommy Patterson out of Atlanta. He's a senior technical evangelist for IT Pro, and we're going to talk to him about the scenarios around and virtual machine considerations. So with that, thank you for joining IT Time TechNet Radio.